want to turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 3. Just a quick reminder, if you haven't already, you can get you a book. There's some books out on the table out there. We're going to start You and Me Forever tonight at 6 o'clock for anybody that wants to come. And it's not just for married people, so anybody wants to come is sure welcome to come. And we'll just meet in the family room at 6. If you have a chance, go ahead and glance over chapter 1, and we'll kind of be discussing a little bit out of that. But we have some video as well, so I think it'll be a good night to get together. I was just watching the video again Friday night and just so blown away by the idea of eternity. And I think sometimes we just kind of skip over that and gloss over that. And I hope that through this study, it'll really begin to touch your heart that there's more to this. There's more than this. There's more than this life. And I hope that you can come and be encouraged tonight. So tonight at 6, don't forget that. All right, let's look in 1 Peter, right? 1 Peter chapter 3. I think I had the wrong thing up there, Brother Russ. Verse 3, the Word of God says this: whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing gold or putting on apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. All right, so last week we did, whose fault was it? Whose fault was it last week? His fault. Whose fault is it today? Wait a minute, did you say his again? Come on, Diane. This is a really good day for me because my wife's not even here today, so I can really lay it out there, right? Or maybe that's a bad sign, I'm not sure. I don't know, we'll see. You got to be careful when you're talking about these things, especially when a man is talking about how a woman should be, right? That's kind of tricky. So just to get us started off a little bit this morning, I thought this would help. There was an efficiency expert. He concluded a lecture with a note of caution. He said, "You don't want to try these techniques at home." "Why not?" asked someone from the back of the audience. He said, "I watched my wife's routine at breakfast for years," the expert explained. "She made lots of trips to the refrigerator, the stove, the table, and cabinets, often carrying just a single item at a time. Honey," I suggested, "why don't you try carrying several things at once?" And the person in the audience asked, "Well, did it save time?" The expert replied, "Actually, yes. It used to take her 20 minutes to get breakfast ready, and now I do it in 7. So you got to be careful when you make criticism, when you make, you know, points. Today is not about criticism, but it is about trying to hear the voice of the Lord, and especially as it relates to women. And in what my heart is today, as I've been thinking about this message, I've been thinking about younger women and how they need to hear this message. And I even thinking of my daughter today and how I hope that she can really grab hold of what we're about to hear today. The passage that we read to you, at the end of that passage, the idea is that a woman would have a gentle and a quiet spirit. We're going to talk about what that means. And I'm just going to tell you right up front, I have prayed for my kids over the years. I've prayed for Isaiah that he would have pure hands, holy hands, and a pure heart. That's Timothy chapter 2. And I have prayed for Brooklyn that she would have a gentle and a quiet spirit. And that's been my prayer for their life, that God would build them into those kind of people. And so today we're going to kind of talk a little bit about that. So we've subtitled again this series as Love and Marriage and the Gospel. And we'll kind of hit this probably every week just to help reemphasize where we're headed. Again, love is that basic need. Love is the most basic need of everybody in this room. Everybody needs love. Now, today's message is for women, but men need to hear it. If you remember last week, I did the same thing to you, right? I said it was about men, but women need to hear it. Well, guys, don't check out today. I think you can learn some things today about your wives, about your daughters, if you'll listen up. Dads, we need to help our daughters become godly women. Single guys, if you're single here today, hopefully you're here about the kind of lady that you should be finding. And don't forget from last week that find is a verb. Can I get an amen, Corbin? Where are you at? All right. Find is a verb. So we're going to talk about love. We're going to talk about marriage. Now, this is also really important. Today's message is not about wives per se. Next week, we'll probably focus on wives. So sometimes people get confused, and I've heard some preachers get a little confused. There's a role that is specific and special between a wife and her husband. But the scripture doesn't say that women in general are to submit to men in general. It doesn't say that anywhere, okay? Today we're not talking about wives per se. We're using a text that is about wives, But really what I want to identify is, what is it about women that should make a godly woman? So whether you're single or married today, this message can hopefully encourage you. So kind of take that to heart today as you're listening. We're not really focused on wives per se. We're going to focus on women, and especially what the Lord would have a godly woman to be. Again, tonight, as we think about marriage, if you can come, I think you'll be encouraged to talk about you and me forever and that idea. And we talked about this last week as well, and again, I want to reemphasize it. The key to a healthy marriage is for both people to be healthy spiritually. Everybody hear that? Okay. You want your marriage to be the best it can be, then you want to be healthy spiritually, and you want your spouse to be healthy spiritually. And if that can happen, that's where you guys will have the greatest connection, you'll have the most joy, the most fulfillment. And where there's a disconnect there, that's where you're going to really struggle. So today, if you really, really desire to have a stronger marriage, well, start by having a stronger relationship with the Lord and with Christ that died for you. And that will be the best step towards a good marriage. Again, we'll focus on marriage the last 2 weeks. Next week we'll start probably with the ladies, and then we'll talk about husbands as we close up. But again, just want you to think about that idea for marriage. And again, if the Lord has called you to a single life, I hope that even today you'll be encouraged. And of course, finally, we've got love, we've got marriage, and we have the gospel. And I'm going to say this again because it's just so important for me to get it out here. This is not about being a better person. It's not about being a better husband. It's not about being a better wife. You're like, wait a minute, what? This is about being dependent upon the Lord who died for you. If you'll be dependent on Him, He can work the change through your heart. If you try to make the change just on your own, 99% of the time, you're going to fail in those changes, and they're not going to last. But if the Lord does the change inside out, then some things will be different. I guarantee you guys, you have got, and I have got to be dependent upon the gospel just as much, if not more so today, than we were the day that we came to Christ. So many people, they come to Christ when they need to be saved, and they need to be changed, and the Lord begins that work in them, and then all of a sudden they start laying out their plans and their works and how they're going to earn their way to God instead of being dependent on God just like the day they came to Him. So even as you're sitting there today, Lord, help me to be desperate for You. Help me to be dependent upon You. As I hear things today, Lord, help the things that I need to hear to prick my heart, help them to come in. And maybe the things that aren't an issue with me, Lord, help me to set them aside. But any change that I need to make, Lord, You make that change in me and let me be submissive to You. I hope that's your prayer today. And that's the idea of the gospel. We want to please the Lord and we need Him to do that. Today you might be challenged. You may feel some guilt or you may not. You may identify some areas of your life that really need to change. But I remind you, you cannot do this stuff without Christ. We need the power of the gospel to be transformed. So surrender to the power of the gospel. Surrender to the Lord. All right, so today we're going to pick on the ladies. What does the gospel say about being a woman? So I titled the message this morning, A Natural Woman, and I've been singing Aretha Franklin all day so far. And people are probably like looking at me really strange, like, why do you keep saying that? That's what's in my head. Today we're going to use this idea of a natural woman, of basically being a spiritually mature woman. What does that look like? What were you created to be? What was a woman created to be? And then also we're going to look at this idea, and that is, how has the world distorted what that should be? And it really has. So we're going to kind of start with a couple different words that I think they tie together. Again, ladies, you can probably encourage us, continue these conversations after the message with your spouses. But a couple things that I think a lot of ladies have issue with are these two ideas, and that is competition and perfection. Competition and perfection. And I believe that this is an unnatural struggle. The world has distorted some of these things. Now today I want to again be careful, and you can tell I'm trying to walk cautiously. Some of the things we're going to talk about are generalizations, okay? Even as we talked about last week that some men are very passive or others aggressive, as a total, that's very true for a lot of men, but those again are generalizations. Same thing today, ladies. We're going to speak about some things in general terms. So not every woman will have these issues or be tormented or struggle with some of these things, but a lot of ladies will, and that's why we're going to bring it up. So I would ask you that you let the Lord be your guide as you try to discern where you need encouragement. So as we think about this idea of competition, where do you think ladies compete? So the first thing I brought up here is the idea of mommy wars. You guys ever heard that term, mommy wars? All right. It kind of came out of what I would say probably was about the 80s, where it really took off. Now, you had your women's liberation movement in the end of 60s and then 70s kind of thing. And what you see, all of a sudden, you have this picture of this the working woman. You guys, anybody remember the commercial, I can bring home the bacon, fry it up in the pan, right? It's the idea of this, I have it all together. I can do it all. I can take care of everything. I'm a woman. And that created an incredible amount of pressure. Well, then there started to be this competition between the stay-at-home moms and the working moms. And some of you may have been through that. When I say working moms, again, stay-at-home moms are working moms, but you know what I'm saying, right? Okay? Moms that work outside the home. And all of a sudden, the stay-at-home moms started to feel like they were less of a person. There was this pressure. They were less of a person because they weren't working outside the home. But the working moms got the same pressure that maybe they weren't as good as a mom because they were working outside of the home. And so it began this, to be this debate between these two camps. And kind of started this idea of what you would call mommy wars. Well, now this has developed to something that's even crazy bigger than that ever was when it began. What's happened now is it applies to all kinds of things. And I think it comes, and ladies, you can correct me on this if you think it's not true, but I think it comes from the desire to be that ideal or that perfect parent. And so young moms today, do you know what their deals are? This is some of the things they wrestle with. Well, my kid goes to a better daycare. Or I've got to get them into this better daycare so they can get into a better private school, so they can get to a better college, so they can be better than everybody else, so I can be the perfect mom I need to be. Is that legitimate? Some moms have their kids learning Mandarin Chinese at the age of 3. Or some moms are out hiring the professional coaches for gymnastics, for soccer, for basketball, for swimming, for tennis, so that at the age of 4, they can have this, you know, professional life and they can focus and end up being this really incredible, talented, athletic person. Is there ever any pressure for some moms to live up to that? For some moms, it is the idea that, well, my kids are homeschooled instead of a lousy public education. But for other moms, it's, well, my kids are socially acclimated, not like those disastrous homeschoolers. You see what I'm saying? You see it on both sides, all right? There's this pressure of, well, this has got to be the best way to raise your kids, so I'm going to do that, okay? And then, of course, the one thing that's probably really popular nowadays is, well, my kids are eating organic. They're not eating Mickey D's, all right? Have you guys ever heard the stuff about put a helmet on? Sometime I'll have to play this tape for you. But there's this comedian out there, and his big joke was, put a helmet on. Because many of us, when we grew up, we rode in very large cars with big back windows. And we were going down the road at 70 miles an hour, and we were sleeping in that back window. There was no safety seatbelt laws, right? Okay. Many of us, when we went rode our bicycles, did we wear a helmet when we rode bikes? We were doing flips and jumps and all kinds of stuff, okay? Did we make it? There's most of us as a whole did. Now, are those safety things bad? No, they're good to have in place. But his joke is, well, put a helmet on, because we always have these concerns nowadays. And maybe sometimes we're maybe a little bit over-concerned. Again, what I want to say today, especially to you guys, when I went through this message, it really reminded me, guys have it pretty easy. And ladies, especially moms in this instance, they have a ton of pressure to measure up. And a lot of it they put on themselves, but some of it is external. And so there is this idea of competition that the world puts in place, and part of it is that idea of mommy wars. The second thing I want to talk on just a little bit today, a little idea here for us to consider, is this picture of an idealistic appearance, okay? Now, this is, again, speaking of the idea of that, how guys have it easy and how ladies maybe not quite so much. I heard this, again, from this Matt Chandler. It was kind of a neat idea. Guys, we could be a couch potato, and yet if the opportunity presented itself to try out for an NFL team, we would just jump at it. You know what I'm saying? I can do this. Sure, here we go. Right? Now, women on the other side, they seem to be like, the lady can be beautiful and smart and hardworking and well-educated, and she has an opportunity presents itself, and she's still like, I'm just not sure I can make it happen. I'm sure I can get it done. That's kind of the difference between men and women. Women and men. The men seem to not care as much. It's like, oh, we can just do whatever. We can jump in. Ladies are a little bit more given to that ideal. Can they hold up to the ideal? And this, again, some penology here, so take this for what it's worth, but you think it through. I'm not so sure that it's so much that women are competing for a man's attention, but I think they are competing to be as close to the ideal, the perfect woman, as possible. Think about that for a second. Is that women are competing with each other for men, or is it really that women are competing with themselves about what this ideal, this perfect woman is? Ladies, think about this for a minute. Whether through magazines or music videos or just all the crazy advertisements that are everywhere, Women feel like they must compete against the ideal woman, and the pressure is insane. Guys, it is. Especially for your daughters, if you're raising up daughters, wow. The pressure to be ideal is ridiculous. It is insane. For example, well, my hair is not as nice as hers. My body doesn't look like anything like the body of that lady on the cover of that magazine. My clothes aren't as nice as hers. My house, my car, the way I stylize and accessorize, they're not like hers. And even today, my job is not as great as hers. There's so much pressure on a woman to measure up in all these areas. And so what I would say to you today is the temptation here is to always be comparing ourselves with one another rather than with Christ. And guys, that applies to you too, by the way, today. The temptation is for us to compare each other with one another rather than comparing ourselves with the Lord. Can anybody in this room measure up to the Lord? So as soon as you try to do that, you know what it does? It makes you dependent upon Him, the gospel. But what happens is we look around and it's like, oh, Todd's got this better, and Michael's got this better, Rick got this better, right? Did you like that? It was kind of fun, wasn't it, Rick? But really, we do that. We compare. They got a better car. They got a better house. They got a better job. They got a better wife. They're better in shape. They seem to be more disciplined. That pressure's there. Well, I would say, guys, that for ladies, you could probably about multiply it by 10. The pressure for them to look around and like, oh boy, I don't measure up, is just, it's a crucible, if you will, on them. So we need to really step in and be godly men and encouraging our wives and especially our daughters that they can find love and acceptance, especially from their dads. We'll talk more about that in just a minute. So here's the problem. This is ridiculous, this problem. And that is social media. Now, you guys, you know that I love social media, right? So you're like, wait a minute, why are you up there? You're dogging social media, and you're the one who's putting all the stuff on Facebook, preacher. What's going on there? What does social media do? What can it do to our young ladies if we're not careful? Anybody? No, men, don't raise your hand. Anybody ever seen Pinterest? Right? Pinterest is a place of ideal things, isn't it? Now, when you look out on Facebook and you see your friends on Facebook, do you usually ever see your lady friends on Facebook take a picture of themselves before they've had a shower and put on their makeup and it's all their hair is everywhere and their face is a mess and that's their selfie that they're posting on Facebook? Not normally, is it? What are you getting on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram? You're getting the ideal of people's, what they're best at, what they're good at, what they really enjoy. Does so-and-so really go out to eat 6 times a week and they have the best food every night? Do they get to go on vacation 4 times a year? Are you with me? You read that stuff and you're like, how come I can't have that life? How did they get it and I didn't get it? What does that do to our little girls? It is tough stuff to be a girl today. You have 24/7 access to why you don't measure up. 24/7 access to somebody who's prettier than you, that's got more going on you, that's more popular than you, keep sliding, that's wittier than you. Oh, I gotta figure out how to measure up. Again, the pressure to that is crazy. It's insane. So how can we deal with this? How can we make this better? How can we handle this type of situation? Well, what I would encourage you today is we need to be careful with the temptation to covet through social media. It's there, isn't it? Be honest. It is. Look what they got. How did they get that? And again, we need to find our rest, our trust in the Lord. Also, be careful with the temptation to judge yourself against everyone else's best days. That's what's going on. Your young daughter is measuring her average day by everybody else's best day. We've got to help them out with that. Again, most of the time you're only seeing the good side. Please realize you're only seeing one side of the story. And dad, you can help with this. And again, pot calling the kettle black here. This is something I have to work at. Love your daughters unconditionally. Don't add pressure on your daughters for them to win your approval. Remind them over and over and over that they are loved and quit criticizing. You take that to heart? There are some kids that come into this church that don't even have a dad. There are some girls that come into this church that don't have a dad. This needs to be a place where they are loved and they know they're loved unconditionally, and it doesn't matter how their makeup's done and what their clothes are and whether they're super, super thin or whether they're a little overweight. They need to know they are loved in this place. Are you with me? So as the Lord grows us, let's make sure that that happens, that whoever comes in that door, that they know that Jesus loves them and he loves them through us. And that'll go a long way towards helping these girls grow up and to become a godly woman. Just a couple weeks ago, a friend of mine at school retired. And in her retirement speech, and you could hear it in her voice, and she told the story that basically her dad told her that she wouldn't amount to anything. And that's what she lived with for like 40 years. She still had that in the back of her mind, and she was having to prove herself to herself and a little bit back to her dad to say, see, I told you I could be something. No girl should ever have to grow up under that kind of pressure, right? She made it out. She made it with the Lord's help. She got through that. But again, we need to make sure that we're not putting those types of things on our kids. Again, Dad, your words are so powerful. Be careful how you use your words with your kids. All that unnecessary pain that she endured could have been avoided if her dad had been a loving dad instead of someone who was constantly criticizing her. So, with all this pressure, the pressure of being the mom, the pressure of having an idealistic appearance, the pressure of all this crazy social media, how can a woman find relief? Ladies need to find true beauty rather than perfection and figure out how to find their identity in Christ and rest in his love. That's easy to say. It's really hard to do. We had the same conversation in Sunday school this morning with the teenagers. It was really good. They have to figure out what their identity is. And most of you have been around long, the block long enough, you figured out your identity, right? Think about even in your own family, if you have birth order, sometimes you have identity there, right? What do you think I was, what birth order am I? Anybody want to make a guess? Firstborn, the baby, the middle child. Nope. First, yes. I'm the leader. This is the way we're going to do it. I'm the rule follower. This is the way it's going to be. I'm going to excel at school because I got to do that. I'm firstborn. That's my identity. I need to be the smart one. I'm not really the smart one, but I'm going to try to pretend that. Maybe I can fool everybody, okay? What's the middle brother going to be like? I have two brothers, by the way. Well, I can't live up to that first role. I got to be my own person. I'm going to rebel a little bit, all right? And then what's the youngest brother? He's the baby. Right? You've already had Tyler's been here one time, and actually he's a preacher as well. Actually, both my brothers are preachers, by the way. And Tyler came through, and I would give him a hard time. Tyler got everything easy. Tyler got all he wanted because we were out of the house, right? And so he had those roles, those identity. And sometimes we do that same thing in our own life. I like to think of identity a lot of times as you think about the high school table, the cafeteria. Do you remember those tables? Look around at the tables in your high school. What did you see? Here's all the nerds and the geeks, right? Here's all the preppies. Here's all the skaters. Here's all the jocks. Here's all the Ashleys. Here's all the, right? You guys can fill in the spot, right? You know what I'm talking about? Those were identities, right? I'm the funny one. I'm the athletic one. I'm the smart one. Well, girls, as they're growing up, are trying to figure out their identity. What am I going to be known? What am I going to find value for? And the truth is, they need to find their value in the unconditional love of the Lord. And if they can start there, it will give them the security they need to be whatever the Lord wants them to be. But they're going to fight that day after day after day. And I'm going to be honest with you, there's a lot of little girls inside of a lot of big girls right here today who have had to fight that same thing. Who am I? Where do I find value? Where do I find worth? Do I find it in my kids? Do I find it in my husband, in my relationships? And the Lord says, come find your identity in me, knowing that I loved you enough that I gave my life for you. Start there. Find your identity there. Okay, again, easy to talk about, but very difficult to do. Let's look at some things that hopefully will encourage you today. Again, 1 Peter chapter 3, kind of getting where we started today. The natural woman or the spiritually mature woman. 1 Peter 3:3, your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as elaborate hairstyles and the wearing of gold jewelry or fine clothes. Rather, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and a quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. So a natural woman, a spiritually mature woman, understands true beauty. Where does true beauty come from? It comes from fearing the Lord. I love this verse right up here from Proverbs chapter 31, verse 30. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord should be praised. Let's just be honest, ladies. When you are 45, you don't look like when you're 25, right? I'm not even going to go up from there. I'm afraid I'll get in too much trouble. Beauty is temporary, isn't it? Beauty is fleeting. We have beautiful ladies in our congregation, but it is going to disappear. Charm. We have some charming people. I work with some charming people. But charm can be deceptive. And somebody who's charming, you kind of like, oh, I like to be around them. Oh, I want to lift them up. I want to kind of be like them. But the scripture says even that is deceitful. What do we need to lift up before our little girls? What needs to be their ideal? What needs to be their hero that they need to strive to be is a woman who fears the Lord. And I can kind of brag on my wife since she's not here today. But the one thing that I've known from the day that I met my wife and the day I married her is that she feared the Lord. She had a healthy, reverent awe for God Almighty. And that's one of the things I love about her. That's what we got to help our kids to come and understand. Not just our girls, our boys too. But if a woman is going to be what the Lord wants her to be, she's got to understand what true beauty is and realize that the outside beauty is going to fade away, that charm fades away. But if someone fears the Lord, that's what lasts and that's what should be praised. All right, the next thing, you guys are going to hate this scripture, but I thought I better bring it up anyways. It's really an incredible picture of truth. A woman who is spiritually mature has discretion. Now, guys, I wouldn't go ahead and memorize and quote this one to your wife very much. I don't think you're going to get very far with that, right? What does it say? Like a gold ring and a pig snout is a beautiful woman without discretion. I almost put a picture of a pig with a gold ring. I thought, oh, that's going too far. I don't think we need the visual, right? What does that mean? It's so funny to look out there. The guys are out there laughing and smiling. The ladies are kind of like, what's this about? Right? Like a gold ring and a pig snout is a beautiful woman without discretion. Again, beauty is something that should be inward and that has a subtlety about it, has a discretion about it. What's the world say today? Can I be a little bit crude with you here? The world today, you know what it says? To our ladies, to our young girls, it says, if you got it, flaunt it. I've been with Wendy when we were shopping for like fifth and sixth grade girl clothes. It was ridiculous. They were trying to make them look like they were 18 or 19 or in their 20s. And it's like, this is a little 11, 12-year-old girl. The message of the world is if you got it, flaunt it. The message of the Word of God is a beautiful woman is a woman who knows discretion. And it's not that she doesn't doll up a little bit. It's not that she doesn't try to look pretty, but it's that she realizes her beauty is on the inside and it's not about how she appears to everyone else. And that takes discretion to do that. So think about that. Take that to heart today. Again, a beautiful woman shows discretion. So again, back to the idea of what Peter wrote down for us in 1 Peter chapter 3. It's not because of gorgeous hair or fine jewelry or fancy clothes that you're beautiful. Again, the idea here is what is important to you? What is your identity? Is it about the inside or the outside? Another way I would word it is this. What are you known for? How do people know you? Do people honor you because of your appearance or because of your character? You guys have probably seen some of the job interview shows. It's interesting how that works sometimes. That beautiful people, they get hired quicker, don't they? They get more opportunity just based upon their appearance. So I'd encourage you today, are you known for your appearance? Or are you known because of your character? This is a question, again, for men and women. Again, I'm going to say some things here, but you take them to heart and think about them. Do you spend more time on your hair than you do studying the scriptures? Are you pursuing a fine bracelet or a necklace or a watch more than chasing the Lord? Do you care more about who you are wearing than who you are helping? You guys follow that? You know, like at all the red carpet and all that show, it's about who you're wearing, right? Do you care more about that than you care about who you're helping? And again, guys, as we try to train up our daughters, are we helping them through those things and through that pressure? I love this idea, and I think this will help convey it a little bit better. How much time do you think Mother Teresa spent in the shopping mall looking for the perfect dress? What? Wait a minute. Well, I'm not Mother Teresa. Well, and you can say whatever you want to say, but Mother Teresa had an incredible servant's heart. She went to the poorest of the poor and changed their world. And guys, before you get too judgmental, how are you spending your time, and where's your servant's heart at too, right? A beautiful woman recognizes service to her Lord as something as beautiful. Again, today, I want to be clear here. Please don't take me wrong. I don't believe the passage here is forbidding braided hair. It's not forbidding jewelry or fancy clothes. But I think it is warning about all of these things, because it's so easy to measure our worth by our appearance. It is a pressure of our culture, especially American culture, to measure yourself by your appearance. Again, something I heard from another preacher. It's like only in this century was it desirable for a woman to have a six-pack of abs. It has never been that way before. We're crazy about that stuff now, right? It has never been that way before in history, and now all of a sudden, this is what's coming out, and the pressure, again, is crazy. It is insane. It is so easy for us to measure our worth by our appearance. The media is obsessed with appearances, the red carpet, the latest fashion, the latest diet. If you gain a few pounds, they'll chew you apart, and if you are too skinny, then they'll complain too. Have you got that? Ladies, you cannot win, so don't try. Husbands, dads, love your wives, love your daughters, so that they're not trying to find worth someplace else. Let the Lord sink that into your heart today. If your wife knows that you love her and that you care for her and that you think she's the most precious thing in the world, she doesn't have so much pressure from everything else and every ad and every magazine and every TV show, because she knows that you love her. You be that kind of man, and it'll make a difference in your marriage. Dad, same thing for your daughters. You let them know that they are pretty no matter what their appearance is like. You let them know that they're loved and that they're cared for and that they can always come to you. Because the world is going to spit you out either way. It'll never be good enough. Find your worth in Christ. Okay, another thing about a natural woman this morning. She is meek. And we used this word last week for the men, and I want to use it again for women, that you can really grab hold of this idea. The idea of meekness, a lot of people think it means to be weak. But actually, if you looked in your King James Bible this morning, in 1 Peter chapter 3, this is the word that was used. And modern translations will have the word gentle. And meekness and gentle, they go hand in hand. I think sometimes we think of gentle, we think of somebody that can't be bold or courageous. We think of them as a timid person, but that's not the case here at all. A real woman is meek. And the word here, of course, in the gospel, it uses gentle. And I know that this is not popular today, and this is probably countercultural in many ways. The world says to our women, it says to them, be aggressive, take what's yours, demand your rights, stand up for yourself. That's what the world says today. But what I would say to you today is that the meek woman finds her worth in her Savior, not in her appearance, not her position at work, or not even her family. She moves in the power of Christ. That's a meek person. Men and women, we want to be meek. We want to be power under control. And it's not that your daughters and your wives can't be powerful people. As a matter of fact, the Bible displays some amazingly powerful women when you look at the Scriptures. This is a citation from Jerome. He says, these people do not know that while Barak trembled, Deborah saved Israel, that Esther delivered from supreme peril the children of God. Is it not to women that our Lord appeared after his resurrection? Yes, and the men could then blush for not having sought what the women had found. There are strong women all throughout our Scriptures. Our daughters can be strong. Our wives can be strong. But the word that the Scripture uses is meek, which is power under control. I know my identity is wrapped in the Lord. I don't need external approval, so I can serve with great passion and strength and find my security in the one who has died for me. Again, power under control, leadership of the Holy Spirit. That's what we need. Discipline and strength through the Lord himself, and that is the gospel. Ask the Lord for strength today as you try to work through these things. A couple more things. A godly woman possesses a quiet spirit. And here's what I think this means. Again, this may be some penology. You guys check it out and double check the preacher on this one. Make sure we're on the right track. But I think a quiet spirit is someone who does not demand attention. Probably most of us in this room have been in rooms where there was a woman who did not have a quiet spirit. And she demanded attention. And she might try to get it different ways. She might try to get it with the way that she dressed, the way she put on her appearance. She might try to get it with the way that she acted or behaved. But her spirit was not quiet because deep down she was insecure and she was trying to get approval from the outside. Okay? But the Lord says to our daughters and to our wives, have a quiet spirit, a spirit that is not demanding attention. Someone that doesn't have to be the center of the room because they are secure in the love of the Lord. Let me say this too this morning. A quiet spirit does not necessarily mean a quiet person. Okay? We all probably have ladies in our lives who are not necessarily quiet people. They're maybe bold and boisterous and talkative. And that's great. The Lord has gifted them to do that. That's not what this is saying here. But this is the idea of having a quiet spirit, a spirit that is at rest with the Lord. One of my favorite passages, we read it often, is in Matthew chapter 11, where Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor are heavy laden, and you will find rest," right? At the end of that thing, he says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Everybody know what a yoke is? Like you have two oxen and they put this thing on the ox, okay? It's the idea of work. It's the idea of service. But Jesus says, "I have service for you. I have work for you, and in that work, you'll find rest. You'll find fulfillment. You'll find joy. You can find your identity." Again, that's the idea of a quiet spirit. Someone who's found their rest in the Lord. I think a good way to word all this is this. When your focus is purity, it's reverence, it's godly disciplines, it's internal beauty, you will gain a gentle and a quiet spirit. That's what we have to help and encourage, especially our daughters, in that. All right, finally, a woman who is a godly woman, a natural woman, if you will, this morning, speaks with grace. This is something that I'm going to be real honest with you here, and this is just from my experience. Again, you guys can check and test this, all right? But I think that women, by and large, can be so much more sharp or uplifting with their words than a man ever can. I've had to work with a lot of women over the last 20 years. I've been in school settings all that time. Mostly, I work with women. And a woman can be demeaning and cruel and sharp in a heartbeat. Like she can cut and slice up and dice faster than I can even think. I'm like, wow, how did they do that? And at the same time, they can also use their words with compassion and tenderness to lift up and enthuse and bring joy. It's just amazing. Ladies, your words are so powerful. And the way you use them can be so powerful. A godly woman speaks with grace. And sometimes that's tricky, isn't it? Sometimes you want to say what's on your heart, right? Okay, I hate to even go there, but have any of you ever watched You've Got Mail, right, with Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks? And Tom Hanks is always talking about, you know, the mobster and going to the mattresses and all that. And Meg Ryan's at this place where she's like, well, sometimes there's just some things I want to say, but I never can quite say them at the time. And then she finally says what's in her heart, and it's cruel, and it's to the point, and it really pushes back the guy, and then she feels horrible when she's done it. Yeah. A godly woman has to restrain from those things and speak with grace. It's not easy. Sometimes it goes against your instinct, but we have to trust the Lord in that. Again, the woman you were created to be is the one who encourages and uplifts her words. Let's look at two scriptures to encourage you in that. Colossians chapter 4, verse 5, what's it say? Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. This is a problem that I really have, and that is think before you speak. I'd say most ladies are much better at that than I am, okay? Think before you speak. Make sure that the words you're putting out are words that are of encouragement. And then Proverbs 31, verse 26, this is a great passage. And it says, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. That's a godly woman, right? That's what we want our daughters to be. That's what we want our wives to be. And that's what we want, as Titus would say, we want the older women to train the younger women to be. That's how we want that to happen. So let's wrap all this up this morning, see if I can tie all this together, okay? We want our daughters and our wives to find their identity in their relationship with Christ, and that's the best path towards becoming a natural woman. Let's go back through them again. Love. Are you looking for love today? Maybe you're single looking for love today. Start by becoming the person that God wants you to be, start loving the way God intended. Okay? You want to give advice to your daughters about love? Tell them to be the godly woman that God wants them to be, and he will work out the details. Don't focus on finding the guy. Focus on serving the Lord, and the Lord will pull that together. Marriage, again, women, seek to become a spiritually mature woman. You want your marriage to be healthy. You want it to be strong. You be what God wants you to be on your end. Then pray for your husband that God does a work in his heart. And as you both grow in the Lord, then your marriage will be stronger and it will click, if you will. And then finally, probably the most important thing today is the idea of gospel. Seek the work of Christ in your life. Ask to be transformed. Commit to delighting in God's word. We've been talking about that on Wednesday nights a lot. Let me close with this illustration. This is from David Huss. He says, several years ago, there was a girl in an orphanage, and she was unattractive, and she had mannerisms that were not very attractive either. And so she was disliked, and she was shunned by the other kids, and not even liked by her teachers. The head of the institution looked for a reason to send her off to some other place. Well, one afternoon, the opportunity came. She was suspected of writing unapproved, illicit notes to someone outside the institution. One of the little girls had just reported, "I saw her write a note and hide it on a tree near the stone wall." So the superintendent hurried to the tree and he found the note. And he then passed it silently to his assistant. And the note read this: "To whoever finds this, I love you." In essence, someone else wrote a note and put it on a tree outside a city wall at another place a long time ago. Of him, too, it was written, "He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected of men." It's Isaiah chapter 53, verse 2 and 3. They sought to get rid of Jesus. They took him out to Calvary's Hill where they crucified him. They nailed him to a tree, but when men get there, they find a note on the tree that reads, "Whoever finds this, I love you." Isn't that good? Little girls, whether you're in an older girl body or a younger girl body today, hear me out. Jesus loves you, and that's not a little thing. Maybe your daddy didn't love you like he should. Maybe your husband doesn't love you like he should. There are lots of maybes, but this is the truth. Jesus loves you, and he died for you, and you can find love and security in him. That's the word we need to get out. If you get to know the Lord, you can be filled with great love and joy, and this is the gospel. Trust and depend on the Lord. Amen. Let's stand this morning.